You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, everybody. Just so you know, there is a content warning on this episode. We are going to talk about death by suicide, self-harm, and other kind of really, really difficult topics. So just so you know, content warning for all of that. Thanks. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fan Fight Podcast. I am Danielle Riendo, the EIC up in this business, as you might say, the business that is wrestling and MMA. That's the business of this podcast anyway. And I have with me, as always, my incredible colleague, my blood friend, and of course, Fan Bites wrestling editor, LB Hunk Tears.
What's up, Danielle? Hi.
Hi. It's been a
Oh my God.
It's been a fucked up week. Yeah, it's been a fucked up week. And I think we decided to do something a little different this week. And LB, we are going to be discussing, of course, Hana Kimura, who died by suicide a few days ago.
An apparent suicide, yeah. I don't think it's been officially ruled.
Gotcha. But sorry about that. An apparent.
Yeah.
Died by apparent suicide. But we decided we were going to dedicate this episode to her and look at a match from her and actually from the World of Stardom promotion. And LB, I wanted to let you kind of take control of a lot of this episode since you certainly know more about her. But I am very, very happy to have an episode to kind of honor her and talk about her and celebrate some of the things that she's done. So thank you for bringing this up. And I'm going to let you kind of take the reins here because this is something you know a little bit more about than I, of course.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So just in general, this last 10 days in pro wrestling has been hellish, just harrowing. It started with Shad Gaspard, who was a former WWE performer, dying in a freak accident, riptide in Venice Beach.
Yeah.
He was swimming with his son. Fortunately, his son survived, but Shad did not. By all accounts, the loveliest human, a wonderful dad. Just horrifying, truly tragic. Everyone's nightmare.
That's awful.
Riptides, as somebody who grew up, here in Southern California, swimming in the ocean, riptides are such a fear.
Yeah.
Because, there's nothing you can do. And there's no way of telling. So it's the scariest, fucking saddest thing.
If you're not a beach person, do we want to, I know what it is, of course, but some people might not be beach people and it's less of a thing on the East Coast.
Right,
so do you want to explain just a tiny bit?
A riptide is basically you're swimming in the ocean, everything seems normal, and then there's just a little area in the water where the water kind of pulls you uncontrollably, very, very fast, very, very strong. Then you can't swim out of it.
Yeah.
And there's really no way to tell it's coming. There's no way to see it from the surface, from the shore. It's just a freak thing.
Terrifying.
And it can be very, very small. It can be pinpointing the size of a person. And somebody on either side of you can be fine. And it's just, it's a nightmare. And just a freak, terrifying thing. So it really tragic, awful. My heart goes out to, I've seen a lot of people who, especially in, locally, who knew him and just loved him. And so there was that. It was already the 21st anniversary of Owen Hart's death.
Right.
If you want to read more about that, David Bixenspan did a great piece on Fan Fight about basically Owen Hart was a WWF wrestler, the brother of Bret Hart, another just universally beloved performer figure. Everybody who worked with him just thought he was the greatest, incredibly talented, by all accounts, again, incredibly kind, yeah. Who died pretty, you know, due to WWF's negligence in planning a stunt in the ring.
Yeah.
And the pay-per-view continued very cruelly. There was a episode, the Vice series, Dark Side of the Ring, had their season finale last week where they talked about Owen Hart and his death. So there was that. And the same day as that anniversary, Hana Kimura, a 22-year-old second-generation pro wrestler in Japan, best known for her work in the Stardom promotion, posted some worrying tweets. Mm-hmm. She's also probably best known by most people as a member of the current cast of Terrace House. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She posted some worrying tweets, including some graphic images of self-harm that have been since deleted. But if you do look this up, like, you know, be mindful in general, but like definitely watch out for that. Cause I have seen people sharing those images. And it did turn out that she had died, of an apparent suicide. It looks like by a poison gas. Okay. And also like, big content warning on this, you know, if you're this far and you're like, I don't know if I want to do this, like, turn it off. It's fine. Like, go take care of yourself. This is really tough stuff. This is really sad, uncomfortable, painful, challenging stuff. So some background on Hana and me. This is not the first time we've talked about Stardom on this podcast. We did an episode where we talked about Meiko Satomura and Kairi Hojo's match.
Yes.
That was a Stardom match.
That was really fun. I remember that one very well.
Stardom is a company I got into a few years ago. And a big part of it was due to this one faction called Oedo Tai. Oedo Tai is this kind of comedy heel faction where they do kind of like a boozy dirtbag samurai girl thing. And they're all goth also.
Yeah.
And when I started watching Stardom, they were like a very dominant faction and I just completely fell in love with them. And one of the main people, I think the youngest member at that point was Hana Kimura, who I immediately found to be magnetic and funny and, you know, engaging and compelling. And within the last year, she had become pretty much like one of two or three people that Stardom had decided, like, okay, this is the future of our company.
Yeah.
Stardom had was just bought by the mobile gaming company Bushiroad. Bushiroad does, if you may have heard of some of these things before, Love Live, which is, you know, Idol Master, these kind of like idol focused anime franchises that are also mobile games. They own New Japan Pro Wrestling, and then they bought Stardom within the last year and had some big plans for Stardom. Stardom's had their talent has been rated a lot by WWE. So, like, as we discussed in, you know, when we talked about Charlotte Flair versus Asuka, Kairi Hojo, now Kairi Sane in WWE, she's there. One of their other former biggest stars, Io Shirai, is also in WWE now. So they've also had a lot of people retire. So Hana Kimura was like one of their big hopes for the future of the company. She did a dark match at Wrestle Kingdom in the Tokyo Dome at the beginning of the year. One of the first women's matches at the Tokyo Dome in a long time. And I think that was part of the reason that she was on Terrace House, was to kind of get her name out there and get the brand more mainstream recognition.
Yeah. Which makes sense on several levels. So something I'm reading about, and again, I apologize, I don't know as much about her and I don't know as much about her life. So I just kind of see headlines. There has been a strong sort of cyberbullying portion to this that people are saying that, you know, that it may have had something to do with what happened here. I'm wondering if that was like an inadvertent thing that happened because of being on a much higher platform like this.
I mean, or... it was directly from Tara's house.
Gotcha. Okay.
So she had gotten into a disagreement with another housemate.
Sure.
After leaving her, I believe she left her wrestling gear in the dryer and somebody went in to do their laundry next. Didn't see it in there and like ruined it when he did his washing with the wrestling gear. And like wrestling gear is, this was her wrestling gear that she wore at the Tokyo Dome. It's really nice. I believe it was this one that I'm about to send you.
Okay.
And like, cause it's nicer than the one, than the gear we watched.
Oh, sure. Yeah. For sure.
It was really expensive and you know, wrestling gear is... Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, and I guess it's like a really cool outfit. She's wearing like these awesome, like knee high, like fuzzy boots and like a really rad, like very like cyberpunk looking almost kind of outfit. A lot of neon. It's really lovely looking. Yeah.
Yeah. So she was doing like she'd moved on from the straight goth thing to this kind of raver cyber goth thing.
It's a great look.
Yeah, it's a great look. She was upset, got into a disagreement, and I guess knocked this guy's hat off his head while she was talking.
Yeah.
And I did Outsports LGBT in the Ring podcast yesterday that you can check out if you want to like really, really get here.
Totally.
Like the really in-depth conversation about some of the stuff. But yeah, this is not the first time, I guess, fans of Tara's House have flipped out on a cast member. And a lot of people were really not happy that she expressed, I don't know, anger of any kind.
That seems wild to me.
She's also half Indonesian. So there was, I guess, some kind of racial element to of the comments that people made about her.
Jesus.
And yeah, so it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
People said really I looked at a lot of the stuff that people were talking about, and it's these, you know, typical like 3-follower burner accounts where somebody only logs on to just say horrible shit to somebody. And yeah, no, like none of them seemed like real accounts. They were all just people spending their time being disgusting and cruel.
Can I just say, like, if you're one of those people and you're listening to this podcast, please, first of all, just don't ever. And second of all, can you just like go, like, I don't care. Like, go find like an Arctic, like, iceberg to go hang out on for the rest of your life and don't contact other people. Like, just don't. Like, like, just go for real. Just, like, find your own iceberg. That's your iceberg. That's where you live, where you're not going to hurt other people. Like, that's what you should do. I think that's what should be done for people who do this kind of shit. It's so disgusting. It's so low. It's so, like, cheap and shitty. I just hate it. I absolutely hate it. So, yeah. Go find an iceberg. Troll. Yeah.
Yeah. Or find help.
Yeah, I mean, that's you. Sorry, I get very upset.
I understand.
About this.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I had such a nuanced response because I've been thinking about this pretty much nonstop for about a week.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
So, yeah, that does help you get to a more nuanced place. yeah, it's horrifying and sad. And again, every account of her, the loveliest, kindest, most welcoming, friendly person.
Yeah.
People seem to love to work with her. She started this new faction, Tokyo Cyber Squad, which explains part of the cyberpunk look.
So good.
Like, part of their message is, like, anybody, you know, space for everybody, like, whoever you are, it's chill. There are very, very few transgender, openly transgender people in pro wrestling.
Sure.
She was tag team partners with one of them, and very close friends, and just seemed very chill and normal about it. In ways that aren't surprising in terms of, like, what I consider a basic bar of decency.
Yeah, sure.
But, like, the basic bar of decency in real life and, like, in pro wrestling, there can often be, like, some difference. And she, like, I guess Hana Kimura cleared my basic bar of decency for normal people.
Yeah, yeah,
as a
for
pro
sure.
wrestler. Which, you know, I always give props to. And again, I just, like, on a personal level, like, really connected with her immediately and liked her. And yeah. So we did watch a match of hers today.
Yeah.
That I would like to talk about because, yeah, she was such an interesting, fun, exciting performer. And I would like to hear what your thoughts are. I picked kind of a weird one.
You picked a great one.
Partially because of my, like, of my Oedo Tai, like, connection in my heart. And of also of me just loving Kagetsu.
Yes.
Who retired at the beginning of this year due to injuries and was basically the trainer for everybody in Stardom for a while.
Okay.
And was the protege of Meiko Satomura.
Okay. I'm seeing these connections now.
Yeah, awesome. There's connections. Yeah, awesome. So that's Kagetsu.
Like,
so we watched Kagetsu versus Hana Kimura for the World of Stardom Championship. It's a no count out, no DQ, nuts match from October 2018. Content warning on this one also for, like, simulated hanging.
Yes.
Sorry, I forgot all about that and didn't mention it to you, Danielle. But yeah,
that's all right. That's a good one to note here, for sure, if anybody watches this one. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically the backstory here is, like I mentioned, Hana was in this faction, Oedo Tai, led by Kagetsu. She betrays Kagetsu and all of Oedo Tai. And I believe right after she'd come back from a trip to Mexico, she had just signed exclusively with Stardom. Beforehand, she'd wrestled in other companies. And this was kind of the beginning of her run as, like, a serious Stardom competitor.
Gotcha.
She has not quite figured out the cyberpunk look yet. Her gear is, like, very, like, went to the Fabric District, threw it together.
It's all the
neon.
Way rave. It's not really
rave.
Cyberpunk rave. Yeah. It's just all the way to rave.
Well, this is pre-Tokyo Cyber Squad, so they haven't debuted as a faction yet.
Totally.
But since it's no DQ, that means that all the other members of Oedo Tai can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like, if you're listening to this and you are, in wrestling is real, don't agree to a no DQ match against somebody with a huge crew.
Yeah.
Because you're fucked then.
Yeah.
Or
bring a bigger crew.
Yeah, make sure you have a bigger crew than just Mary Apache, who's great, and the sister of Fabi Apache, who we watched in episode 2.
Shit.
Millions of connections.
Oh, it's amazing. I love it.
But yeah, I wanted to know what you thought of this, like, weird, angry, violent, enraged match.
I thought it was so much fun and very creative. It had a wild energy. It just, like, starts with a beatdown and, like, doesn't stop. There's, like, 8 miniature, I guess, you know, spots of, like, areas in and around the arena of just wild violence, just positively wild violence. There is so much screaming. There's so much, like, kicking and slapping and the just wildest triangle setups I think I've ever seen. There are so many triangle setups, which are so fun. I love triangles. Triangles are one of my favorite things in the universe. So I love them. I get excited for them. So one of the things I also noticed is that there's a lot of chairs and tables. Yeah. Like, yep. We've got chairs, we've got tables, we've got throwing chairs at people, we've got throwing people into chairs, we've got broken tables, we have the rope stuff, which again, content warning, but like, it seemed incredibly dramatic and like kind of funny. Like it didn't feel wrong in that way. Like it didn't feel like, oh God, oh no. It was like, oh my God, like, oh shit. Like we talked about this with the intergender match that we watched like 2 weeks ago, I think, mm-hmm. where the violence felt so cartoonish and exaggerated that it didn't feel like awkward and bad. Like just the way it's framed, just the way it's done. And like, there's one moment that I just called like a very Star Wars moment, where I believe it's Hana who like is about to bash Kagetsu with a chair, and she catches it, and they have this like moment of like energy, like being almost like you can see it, like the force energy or something, like between the chair, between them. It was just so fun. It was so high energy. I can only imagine that they both like had to go to sleep immediately after doing this.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was like
yeah.
so much energy and so physical. But I really liked it. I think it had a really chaotic and wild and creative energy, and it was very fun.
Yeah. So the reason I chose this, it's neither of their best technical work.
Okay, sure.
But it's that energy. And it's the fact that it's this weird, chaotic, messy thing. And I mean, at this point, Hana is 20?
Sure.
Maybe 21?
Very young.
Maybe she may have just turned 21, sure. Might be about to turn 21. You know, very new to wrestling. Kagetsu's been doing this for a long time and is, for my money, has been one of the best people, you know, wrestling. But the fact that they're able to like, that Hana is able to hold her own against Kagetsu in terms of just like energy and performance.
Yes.
And presence without doing a ton of impressive technical stuff.
Yeah, there's a great moment that's like a perfect encapsulation of that. And I think it's like she's really holding onto a choke / neck crank
mm-hmm.
and like really holding onto it and just like chewing gum.
Right.
And like just has this incredible like casual energy, like, whatever, this is no thing. Like, just like cranking on that neck, like fully going for it, just like chewing gum. That's fine. This is like my Saturday. It was so good. It was such a great little moment of her just being like casually awesome in a way.
Yeah.
Like, that was so, so fun.
So it's, she was able to be casually and like casually mean.
Yes.
In this like very cool, collected, like, rolling her eyes, chewing gum, mall cashier, like over it kind of way.
Yeah.
That I like responded to, that I still respond to so much, and that I love.
Yeah.
That there's this like little sense of smugness and her ability to, I guess, shift between just like pure rage and like aggression to this like, meh, yeah, cranking on your neck. That's just another day of the week for old Hana Kimura. Like, I just like really respond to and really appreciate, and like that she was able to find that, so like find that spot and find that ability to like bring these different levels of energy and emotion to a match, especially like, I think probably the biggest match she'd had in her career at this point. Like a big title match against she and Kagetsu had been tag team partners. They held the tag team belts together for almost a full calendar year.
Oh, wow.
And finally dropped them, I think, 4 months before this match.
Sure.
So I actually sent you a little video of the two of them when they were tag team champions, showing up to a contract signing, I think, a press conference contract signing when they're like pretending to be drunk.
It's so cute.
Like, I think Hana like is carrying her shoes and like puts them on the table and like pretending to throw up into a plastic bag. Kagetsu's got her like her tie like on her head, like a headband, and they're just so obviously having such a fun time together.
And everyone else is sitting there like stone faced. Like, so serious. Like, absolutely, like, this is a contract signing. We're very serious about this. And these two, like, fucking goofballs have, like, six bottles of sake, and they're just like, woo! And it's just so good. So good.
It's like, so silly, and Hana keeps doing this, like, drinking. And, like, I loved them so much as tag team partners. I wanted to show this to you just so I could, like, express to you how much I loved seeing them be partners and how, like, sad I was when they broke up, but also
it
how excited I was.
It was an explosive breakup, clearly.
Oh, yeah, very explosive breakup. But also how excited I was to see Hana Kimura, like, coming into her own as, like, a singles competitor and, like, stepping out of the shadow of Oito Tai, especially once Tokyo Cyber Squad got started, and which was the faction she led, and everybody in there, like, they all had little, like, neon camo and these crazy looks, and which, again, I really recommend checking that stuff out as well. It was hard to pick a point to start with.
Sure.
But I did want to show you something that shows her, like, kind of in process.
Yeah.
Like, not
it's
quite
really
there
cool.
yet.
Yeah.
But still, like, so engaging and so magnetic and fun. But yeah, she and Kagetsu, like, have had fabulous chemistry from the start. And as great as their chemistry is as, you know, comic partners pretending to be drunk at a press conference, like, their chemistry as enemies and as, like, I can't believe you betrayed me and I definitely did betray you, I'm sick of being in your shadow, like, it's just wonderful and electric.
It's such a good storyline, and it's done so well.
Yeah. And, like, I completely understand why the people at Stardom, like, saw Hana and were like, okay, now this is the future of our company.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wish that that had come with, I don't know. If you want to hear about some of my gripes about, I do think that people in wrestling need to have more structural support, specifically from the people who are employing them.
Yeah.
Because it's a really hard job. It's really hard to be in the public eye. It's really hard to, especially be a woman in the public eye, to be a woman who is beautiful and who is making her money off of being lovable. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the hardest things a person can have to do. And if you don't have the emotional support and the psychological support behind that, it can be a really, really, really dangerous thing. Sorry to immediately shift into this, like, grim stuff, but
I think it's correct. I think that's the right thing. There's also something here about being very young and navigating a really cruel, I mean, just the universe being really cruel, but also such a difficult job that's so hard on your body. It's got to be so hard psychologically and mentally to do the gymnastics of it.
Yeah.
To not have privacy in a lot of ways and to be, you know, God, I think about myself at 22 and I think about, like, Jesus, like, I could barely deal with what I was dealing with. You know what I mean?
Right?
And it's so, so tough. And yeah, I do wish there was a lot more structural support for folks. I mean, I wish there was, we've talked about this on the podcast and being kind of leftist and just kind of wanting there to be more support for everybody all the time, but especially someone who does have to live in really weird conditions. Like, it's weird. It's weird to be a star. It's weird to be a young star. It's weird to be, you know, in the public eye. And there's clearly a lot there. And I do want to say, like, yeah, please, everybody, do go listen to the Outsports podcast. It's the LGBT in the Ring is the name of it. Awesome. Yeah. They do a really good job. And I haven't listened yet, as you can tell from probably some of the basic questions I've been asking on this podcast. But I absolutely plan to because I really do want to hear more about this person. I want to hear more about what happened. And I want to, you know, in any way that we can on our podcast and wherever, to, like, kind of hopefully try to honor her memory. And, you know, appreciate the talent that she was and be, I think, very rightfully sad to lose that.
Yeah. And I guess, I know she really did want to do this. Yeah. Like, there's a great photo that's gone around on Twitter of her winning the DDT Ironman Heavyweight Championship when she was 8.
Yeah, it's so cute.
And she just looks so happy.
Yeah.
And her mom's in the background, and it's just, like, it's just the cutest picture. And, like, it does seem like that this is something she really, really wanted to do. Especially hearing from, you know, people who knew her or people who talked to her, or part of her growing up in wrestling and being the child of a wrestler is that you have all these people in wrestling who met her when she was a kid.
Right. Right.
And talk about, like, Brody King, who's a local LA guy who is in Ring of Honor now. He talked about, you know, going to Japan and meeting this, like, kid.
Yeah.
And talking with this kid about how they both wanted to break into wrestling, how they both wanted to get big, and then being at Madison Square Garden last year, and this beautiful woman running up to him and giving him a hug.
Yeah.
And him being like, who the fuck? And then looking like, oh my God, it's you.
And they were both wrestling. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And they were both wrestling at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh yeah. My God. Wow.
So they both made it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's, yeah. So you hear there's all this stuff like this that she really, really wanted to do this. And I think, yeah, if you're, especially if you're growing up with it, she didn't finish high school.
Sure, sure.
She dropped out of high school and started wrestling training when she was like 16.
Sure.
This is all she's done.
Yeah, this is her life. This is her world, you know?
Yeah. So, especially in situations like that, like, where people are starting so, so, so young and don't have the opportunities to form the support systems that stand as foundations for basic functioning.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, imagine if the only support systems we had were through Fanbyte and that was
right.
It.
Right.
Fortunately, like,
there's nothing else exists. Yeah.
Yeah. Fortunately, like, I feel like editor chat would have my back on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like, I feel pretty supported. Go through a lot in there. Like, we're very. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there. You should
make your point,
because I feel like I got too excited when you said that. So,
I mean, like, the thing is, like, I love editor chat.
Yeah,
we have a great group of people, and I think we are really supportive of each other. And I would still feel very weird if that was my only support system.
Of course.
And if my mom, work. You know, and if, you know, I had my mom, but she's in editor chat also.
Right, right. Of course. We can invite moms or whatever, you know, parental figure we feel we have. Like, they can come to editor chat.
But, like, I need to have more than that.
Of course.
And I'm 30. I need to have, like, multiple levels of different kinds of people and people who have different kinds of relationships with me.
Yes.
To get me through navigating life. And I'm, like I said, I'm 30 at 22.
Yeah, God.
Oh my God. I was so vulnerable and so, there's no way I would have been able to handle the kind of pressure she was under at 22.
Yeah, God, I'm thinking about it and I'm like listing the sources in my head. It's like, my therapist, my partner, my parents, my sister, my good friends that I you know, kind of check in with all the time. Like, you know, I'm really grateful and glad that we have a good and supportive environment. That's one of my, like, frankly, biggest aims. I literally, looking at it right now, I have a little piece of paper that I keep hanging up with a piece of scotch tape next to my desk where I have, like, empathetic leadership is one of my goals in my life, and like making Fanbyte a supportive place is like very important to me, and that's still never going to be the only thing.
It shouldn't be. Should be one of many forever, like, and
absolutely it,
and I think a lot of people have workplaces that aren't even close to that, that don't even begin to provide emotional support, and I can't even begin to, you know, imagine what I don't know what it's like at Stardom. I don't know what it's like at Terrace House. But I do think that if you have somebody who's in a fragile, in as fragile a place as Hana Kimura clearly was.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, one reason that suicide shakes people so much as a concept is that it is tremendously unnatural in terms of just, like, going against what our bodies are wired to do, which is to live and survive.
Right.
Right. And I'm not saying it's something that's always wrong in every circumstance.
Of course.
You know, like, yeah. I am somebody who believes in certain cases in, you know, medically assisted suicide for people who are just, you know, doomed to suffer.
Terminal illness and all the kind of factors that go with a lot of the death with dignity movement, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But that doesn't change the fact that, it's something that it's very difficult for me to think about. I've lost people to suicide who I've loved. Yeah. Come close to losing other people I've loved. There have been times I'm a person who struggles with mental illness.
Sure.
There have been many times in my life where I did not want to be alive. Yeah. And
very much same.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
And I'm sure we are not alone in this out there, listeners. Like we stand in sad solidarity with you.
We do.
And I'm so glad we're all here to have this conversation, to have this difficult conversation together.
Yeah.
But Danielle, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad you're here, LB. And I'm so glad that everybody is here who has struggled and is still here.
Yeah.
And thank you. I think this stuff always hits us very much where we live, especially if you have mental illness. Yeah. And like, there's always a piece of me, and I don't know if this is weird. I don't know if this is just me, but I genuinely have like tremendous empathy for lots of people. As much as I just told people to go live on an iceberg, I promise that's more anger than it is a lack of empathy. I can't not put myself in people's shoes. I can't not see myself to any degree in other people, whether my life is like theirs or not, right? That's just what I do. It's just how my head works. I will always put myself in somebody's shoes and feel very, very bad for their suffering. And God, it fucks me up, man. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. It fucks me up, you know? So, yeah.
And I think like you brought up earlier that we do talk about this stuff a lot, and maybe not in these specific terms and not these very specific issues, but it's so how challenging it is to be people who love these things, who love to watch these things, but also struggle with the material conditions under which these things are created.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes we know about the conditions and we know they're bad. Other times we don't know what the conditions are and we can only kind of wonder.
Yeah.
But anybody who is as fragile as Hanakamura was should not have been in the position of being on a reality show where you're being opened up to that kind of criticism on such a massive scale, on a global scale.
Yeah.
Because Terrace House is streamed globally on Netflix in addition to just nationally in Japan.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like that seems like a basic thing if you're running a reality show to do and to like a first level thing to make sure of.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this yesterday on the Outsports pod, but like, I just want to say again, like that, I consider that to be part of worker safety, on the same level as having a good concussion protocol and making sure there are, you know, if somebody gets injured in the ring, they can get medical care as quickly as possible. Like I consider making sure somebody is supported and has the resources they need to safely navigate social media.
Yeah.
On the same level as those things. Completely in terms of worker safety.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's and the other thing about this that was confusing to me, I've never actually watched Terrace House. My sense of Terrace House was that, this is like a less bully produced reality TV show, and that doesn't even matter, right? Like you could be on the Great British Baking Show, which is known as being, you know, pretty friendly, not easy, but like a friendly atmosphere. And if somebody, some fucking crowd of assholes, and they take it the wrong way or something, and you're still in the public eye, like no matter what the tone of the show is, or no matter what the tone of something is, it can be taken the wrong way. It can be made just absolutely public in a really scary and really, really, really dangerous
fashion. That old lady who threw out that guy's baked Alaska got like on Great British Bake Off, the nicest of the reality shows.
Right.
She got like she got extremely harassed.
Yeah, and it's just like, what the hell, y'all? Like, come on.
Yeah, and like, yeah, she fucked up. She threw out the guy's baked Alaska, and that sucks. Yeah. And it sucks that he got kicked off because he was a good baker. Oh, you know what? This is not worth harassing a little old lady over.
Exactly. Like, there's y'all, so many. Everybody has made a mistake. Okay, like everybody who exists has made a mistake, or you know, 10,000,
or so, gotten angry, and yeah.
Yeah.
There's no reason to. I mean, I think the empathy thing is like, yeah, let's all remember that like all of these people are human beings.
Yeah.
And I guess that's like my ask for everybody who's a fan of wrestling or reality TV or combat sports or anything where, you know, TikTok videos, I don't care. Yep. The people who are entertaining you are human beings, and we need to treat them like human beings, and we also need to hold their employers accountable to make sure their employers are treating them like human beings.
Absolutely. Amen. That was, yes. I couldn't agree more. I could not underline that more. I threw my pen down right there. I keep a physical notebook. I'm a little weirdo. My pen down in an amen fashion. Like, yes.
I love a physical notebook. I love throwing a pen. That's great. I'm moved by that.
I write my daily tasks in it. It's very helpful for me.
I try to do that. I'm a Hobonichi person.
Oh, nice. Those,
yeah. Oh. I've also tried to do like a little daily like comic if I can.
Oh, that's really good.
About my day. It makes me feel better.
That's really good. That's extremely productive. I think that's awesome.
It can help. I'm a big fan of being creative to get some of your feelings out.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know, like if your day is really boring in terms of like facts, it's a little easier. It like it's more fun to like do a little drawing of yourself trying to go for a hike and then not being able to, than to be like tried to go for a hike, was not able to.
You did something with it. You did something with that energy, you know, and there's a thing you can show. You know what I mean? Like there's something there. And I
waited in line at cable store for an hour. Like,
right.
You can do like a little cartoon of yourself being like, I'm still at the cable store.
I sure wish I had my cable.
Yeah. Give me internet. Yeah. So
yeah.
Big fan of making stuff that isn't content.
Yeah, for sure. I might fall on the wrong side of that line a little too often. But it's also very real. It's very real. It's very real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Elby, thank you so much for doing this episode with me, for educating me a little bit. Thank you so much
for doing this with me also.
Yeah, of course. I think it was right to do this. It feels like the right thing to do. We'll go back to our usual format, of course, next week with MMA and wrestling as well, but like it just felt like this is kind of the right thing to do, to chat about this. It felt like, I don't know, just kind of hit me that way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you, LB. Thank you.
I appreciate you, Danielle. I'm so glad. I'm glad that you were leading us with empathy.
Oh, thank
I feel
you.
Led with empathy. I feel empathized with.
Oh.
I do want to say though, also, if you are curious about seeing more Hana Kimura.
Yeah.
Aren't sure like where to start. One of her last matches was a tag team match at the Stardom No People Gate, which I believe is on YouTube. You can see a lot of the Stardom streaming site has put up, I think, a best of compilation.
Nice.
Her last match that she ever had was against the ace of the company, Mayu Iwatani, in March. It was really good, a short match, like a really good watch. You can really see like how far she'd come. And it is really fucking sad. And take the space that you need to be sad. And if you need to take space from wrestling, like, first of all, if you want to take space from wrestling and don't feel like you have permission, you always have permission to take space from wrestling. Yes. I am an editor of a wrestling vertical, and I take breaks from wrestling when I need to. But yeah, just take care of yourselves. If you want to dye your hair pink, I've been thinking about it. So yeah. Like maybe we all dye our hair pink. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like I said before, if you are listening to this, I am glad you are here. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you.
I'll read our little outro text here. So thank you, everybody. Again, thank you. Very special episode, I know, but just thank you. Thank you for being here, like LB said. And we hope you enjoyed your combat sports entertainment journey with us. If you don't mind, and if you do have the time to, we do appreciate it if you have time to rate and review our podcast and listen to all of our good stuff at fanbyte.com/podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Fanbyte Media and at Fanfyte, FANFYTE, on Instagram at Fanbyte, TikTok on Fanbyte, and of course on fanbyte.com. And you can watch all of our streams. We've been streaming a lot lately on twitch.tv/fanbyte. Of course, please do check out our wrestling coverage that LB curates, edits, writes, does amazing stuff with at fanbyte.com/wrestling. And please do also listen to another podcast on this feed, Fanfyte VCR, which LB and Colette Arend do. It's a really, really fun show. It's really awesome. Awesome, good stuff. I'm learning so much from it. So do listen to that.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, it's so good.
And I am sorry that there is still a delay on the most recent episode of that. I had some technical problems, and then Hana Kimura died, and I suddenly had a lot of complicated feelings about the history of Japanese women's wrestling.
Sure.
We did an episode on one of my favorite matches of all time, which is Bull Nakano versus Aja Kong in a cage.
Oh, wow.
In All Japan Women's Pro Wrestling, which has a lot of very close connections with stardom in ways that I've been thinking about, and I have just like not been able to bring myself to edit the episode yet. If you want to hear more about that, you can listen to the LGBT in the Ring podcast, where I talk a bunch about Rossi Ogawa and the connections between idol culture and Japanese women's pro wrestling and my own internal conflicts about it. Or you can just wait a little longer and I will get the episode up. Thank you so much for your patience. You can find me on Twitter at HunkTears. I am trying to not go do... I feel like I've said my piece on this now, but find me on there. Like Danielle said, check out all the coverage on Fanfyte. Colette Arend, my co-host in Fanfyte VCR, did a great column on Sunday about basically the weirdness and uncomfortableness and sadness of being a wrestling fan and watching wrestlers die, about Owen Hart and Chad Gaspard and Hana Kimura and Eddie Guerrero. And it's a fantastic piece, and I really, 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 really recommend checking it out. That's I think all I got to plug. Thank you so much, Danielle, for letting us do this.
Absolutely.
I feel a lot better, actually.
I do too. And I only knew things, you know, third hand, but I feel better too. So thank you for giving me some education on that and for being here and being awesome and being so sensitive in a lot of your coverage as well. I think that's really important. It's very much what I want Fanbyte to be, and I appreciate that a lot.
Thanks, Danielle. I appreciate you too.
Oh,
and I shouldn't be doing fake crying voice though. It's this week because when I've been doing real crying voice in the same episode, that's a little confusing. Wasn't a real crying voice. It was it was a dramatic affectation from the heart, though.
It's from the heart, so it's okay. I think it's okay. We probably shouldn't do a sound effect this time.
Yeah.
Just out of respect, and we don't want the wrong tone, of course. So, everybody, just thank you so much. Please be well. Please be safe. And please be good to each other.
Yeah. Bye. See you next week.
Bye.